Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Netflix Life, a streaming TV podcast from Fansided. I'm your host, Cody Schultz, and today I'm joined by a frequent friend of the podcast, Netflix Life editor and CW Spiral co-host, Reed Gowdens. Reed, welcome back.
Thank you for having me again.
It's been a bit. We had a little bit of a pause there in the beginning of the year, but I'm excited to dive into everything that's coming in February, which there's, I think, one title in particular that I'm very excited about, which probably is no surprise.
What could it be? I have no idea.
I know, for those who aren't, I'm even rocking the brand shirt, making it very obvious what my top pick for the month's going to be. But before we get into the February releases, I wanted to give a shout out to the Save Warrior Nun fan campaign. As we speak today, even they've managed to get Netflix Reverse Your Decision trending on Twitter. This fandom is just like working the hustle to try to save that show. We've seen them purchase a billboard in front of the Netflix office, 7 million tweets sent in the first month after the show was canceled last December. They just continue to make waves. I don't know if the fan efforts will work, but these fans are making their voices heard, and I love that dedication.
Yeah, it's refreshing to see in this really crazy television state right now. It's nothing is guaranteed, but it's nice to see a fandom finally standing up and saying, we've had enough. We want it back. This is ridiculous. And like you said, we don't know how it's going to go, but at least they're making their voices heard. And you have to give them that, not backing down and fighting for the show. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I mean, and it's worked in the past. I mean, we don't know. There's been a lot of Save My Show campaigns, of course, and they don't always work, but we've seen it happen. Manifest, Lucifer. I feel like The Expanse was one that got saved by Amazon after it was canceled. There's even been some like smaller ones that didn't necessarily have like big campaigns, like Designated Survivor got a third season at Netflix after ABC canceled it. So there's definitely that hope. And I feel like they're doing what fans, you know, in this predicament need to do, which is, you know, make their voices heard and fight for the show. So fingers crossed that, you know, if it's not Netflix, some other studio might hear those voices and just pick up the show and save it for another season. I think it'd be interesting to see, because we see Netflix saving shows, but it's been rare that we've seen like Netflix shows saved by another outlet.
Yeah, that'd be interesting, even for like a movie or something.
Yeah, because the only one that comes to my mind is One Day at a Time, which I think was saved by Pop TV, but then it only lasted one season after. And I know there was like a weird wait period because of the Netflix contract. They had to wait like 180 days or something like that before they could, or even longer. I can't remember what it was, but something weird. But Netflix makes it more difficult to save their shows than they do to save other shows. But I think it's just exciting, like you said, to see the fan passion. And there's so much uncertainty going on right now with the world of TV. And just to see these fans rally, I think it's exciting. So fingers crossed, keep going, keep doing what you're doing, Save Warrior Nun fans, and we hope it all works out for you in the end. And with that, I'm excited to get into the February releases. So before we break down our must-see titles of the month, let's go ahead and take a quick look at every Netflix show and movie coming in February 2023. We have A Girl and an Astronaut, Dear David, Free Ridge, Gangland Season 2, Love is Blind After the Altar Season 3, Outer Banks Season 3, Perfect Match Season 1, Remember, Red Rose, Squared Love All Over Again, The Great British Baking Show The Professional Season 6, The Strays, The Upshaws Part 3, Too Hot to Handle Germany, Triptych, True Spirit, We Have a Ghost, You Season 4 Part 1, and Your Place or Mine. Now, as a reminder, these are just the Netflix shows and movies coming in February. They're also a lot of great comedy specials, documentaries, Netflix family editions, and acquired titles coming as well. Reed, before we dive into our big shows, do you want to break down the 6 must-see shows and movies of February 2023?
Let's do it. First up, we have Love is Blind After the Altar Season 3, Outer Banks Season 3, Perfect Match Season 1, We Have a Ghost, You Season 4 Part 1, and Your Place or Mine.
All right. Now I'm trying to figure out where we should start first. I guess we should just start with the elephant in the room, which is the show I'm definitely most excited about coming back. That's Outer Banks season 3, which releases February 23rd. That is a Thursday, which is going to be a first for the show. We've seen it usually release on Friday. So interesting to see them testing the Thursday release with this one. But I feel like that's something they're doing more and more often with some of their bigger shows, is like testing different days of the week to see if it hits.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit different for fans. Hopefully it pays off getting it in a day early that week. Maybe it'll have a bigger debut on the weekend, like opening, maybe more hours watched. I don't know, but sooner than later is better to me. So whatever, give it to me on Monday. I don't care.
Yeah, I have to say, I think I'm most excited too, because we're starting to see them, like with another release we'll talk about here in a bit, releasing seasons in parts more frequently. So I'm kind of glad that this one's coming all at once. We're getting all 10 episodes on February 23rd. It is going to be interesting to see how that translates, like fans viewing it, because of course that'll be dropping on a Thursday. So it's like, how quickly will people start binging the season? I'm just really excited to see where this season goes. We know, of course, when we last left the Pogues, they had kind of been marooned on this island, which has now been dubbed Poguelandia, which just is the perfect name. If they hadn't named it, that, I probably would have rioted. But and then we've got some big reveals coming. We know John B's dad's back, and he's going to be in the fold this season, and I'm intrigued to see how he's going to come into play. And parents on this show don't have a good track record, so I don't have high hopes for
Right.
liking him.
Yeah, I don't know. It's gonna, yeah, it'll be a different season, but I'm excited. It's been so long, it feels like, since the last season, and it's weird getting it in February, but just to be reunited with these characters in this world will be an amazing treat for the first half of the year. And yeah, I don't have high hopes for Big John.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like he's gonna be very, I don't know, toxic is my prediction. I think it's because John B's built him up and like hyped him up into like some big like figure, and I feel like it's gonna be a letdown from like what his expectations were and like what he remembers. I could be wrong, but like I said, parents on this show don't have the best track record, so maybe he'll be the exception, but I very, very much doubt that. But I think what's gonna be interesting with this season is A, the pacing, and seeing like what's going to be the main, aside from them getting off the island, and that we've seen like new treasures kind of added into the mix as the season's gone by. So like what's going to come into play this season, and also just seeing how the season's going to end, because we've heard, I think it was Madeline Klein who gave an interview saying that filming the season 3 finale was like her hardest, some of the hardest scenes she's filmed for the show. So I'm like, what could that mean in terms of like characters? Does that mean something big's gonna happen? Are we gonna have like a big character death in the end? I'm really, really intrigued by what those comments were hinting at.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that because I mean, the show has done so many huge things. They've been in storms on boats. They've blown up boats. They've chased each other around a big boat. They've been through it all. So I'm sure season 3 is just going to get bigger and better and like put these characters in more really dangerous situations. But hopefully they total fewer cars in season 3.
I know. I'm trying to think, like, what else can the Twinkie endure this season, because that car's been through the ringer.
I mean, you say it, but they can find a way.
Yeah, it's also, I think it's hard with this one because I love the show so much, but it also, as like we start getting up in the seasons, like I start to wonder what the end game will be for this show, and like how many more seasons we could be looking at beyond season 3. I feel like there's definitely no way it's going to end with this season. It's just a matter of like, will we see season 4 be a final season? Could it go to season 5? I think that's where it's going to be interesting, just to see like what their end game is starting to come into play.
I kind of want 5 seasons.
I feel like
I
5's a
don't
good
know.
number.
Yeah, 4 seems like it's too few. 3, I don't even want to consider this being the end. 5 seems like a good number. Although, like, it depends on, it feels like they might need a new, more villains because I don't know how far they can get along with Ward being like the main like foil to them and Rafe. Maybe that'll be Big John. Maybe Big John will turn into a villain. Who knows? But I guess we'll see how much gas Outer Banks has in its tank by the time season 3 premieres and ends.
Yeah, I definitely, there's no way this can be the last season. Also, I just feel like that'd be such a like a shocking twist if it did. I feel like this has got, it's one of those shows that's got so much fanfare behind it and it's been big for Netflix that I'd be shocked if this one didn't at least get a final season.
Yeah, they made it this far. They're not going to cancel it out of nowhere.
Yeah. If they do, I'll be launching, following the footsteps of the Save Warrior Nun fans. And
oh, yeah. Yeah. We'll be getting those billboards and the petitions and the, yeah.
Yeah, Netflix
send,
won't be sleeping.
Send Twinkies to Netflix headquarters.
Yeah, so we already got the plan in place for that one. But speaking of another one that I'm excited to see, and I feel like is nearing its end game too, is You Season 4 Part 1 comes in February, which this is a first for this show. We've never seen the season split into two parts, and they're doing it 5 and 5. Luckily, there's not going to be a big gap because the second part will come in March. But I'm very interested to see how they're going to use this split season like thing. Like, is this like a test to see, oh, people... It's just, I question the decision there because Yu's a such a good binge show that it's one that once you get started, it's easy just to binge through all 10 episodes. And the story builds in a way that sometimes it doesn't necessarily have that organic mid-season break to have like a big cliffhanger.
I don't watch Yu anymore because I was morally opposed to the season one finale. But from an outsider's perspective, the split is a curious development. I wonder if they were like, it worked for Stranger Things, and that was a longer wait in between. It was like 2 months, I want to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or less than 2 months. I don't know.
Yeah.
But to test it again for another hit show, and it's not the final season as far as we know, you know, I don't have any particular feelings about it, but it is, it's curious why they decided to do it with the, I guess I'm most interested to see if there's a marked difference between part one and part two, if they are like intended to be two halves, or if they were just like, we're going to try to keep these people subscribed for as long as we can.
I feel like it's the former of the two, because I don't see them doing, I feel like the struggle with the show would be like to burn through too many story, like too much story in one season if they did that kind of thing. And it's interesting to me because we don't know like the full synopsis for the parts yet. But we know that Joe's in London now, which when we last saw him, he was in Paris because there was the whole like Emily in Paris, you crossover jokes after like the season ended. So I think it's going to be interesting for fans to see like how he gets to London, how he goes, you know, comes to go by this new Professor Jonathan Moore alias, and just to see these new characters. I feel like the show is, it does a good job of somehow putting Joe, who's this awful person, like that you shouldn't be rooting for, and yet somehow making him like the lesser of the evils among the cast around him, which is such a weird thing to say. Like, I hate myself for saying that.
Yeah, this is why I stopped watching it.
It really is one of those shows that like, it's so conflicting because it's such an addicting show. Like, they do suspense really well in these shows with like the hype of, and it's funny that I'm saying this because, you know, I hate like fake out deaths. That's like one of my biggest.
Yeah.
Like, you, I just hate that. But they do them on this show and they work out well, because then when a death does happen, it's like, oh, I didn't see it coming. That I thought it was another fake out. So they actually, they have like a balance, I feel like, of doing enough fake outs, but then actually following through. But yeah, this one's an interesting one. But I think it's going to be a big hit for them in February. It is, I think, earlier, because I feel like most of the seasons in the past have been in the fall. I want to say like around November, October. So this is another one that's kind of coming out of its normal rotation and airing a little bit earlier in the year than normal. But I think it's
giving me
a
whiplash
gap.
Now that I'm sitting here thinking about it. Mm-hmm. I wish there was like a set schedule for Netflix shows, like broadcast TV.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, because it's kind of unusual. Like, normally this time of year, I feel like in February, we're looking at like a big...
Sweet Magnolias.
Like, yeah, like I was just getting ready to say, like, that feels weird that Sweet Magnolias isn't on the February lineup. Because I believe season two dropped in February of last year. It was either February or March. February. And it just feels weird not to have a big rom-com release, like something in that genre for February. Like, we're going very, you have Outer Banks dark on the teen scope, you've got the very dark, like, you, it just feels weird not to have. I mean, we do have a big rom-com coming on the movie slate, which is Your Place or Mine, which I think we're both excited to watch just because of Reese Witherspoon. But yeah, it feels weird not to have like a big romantic series connected to this month.
I'm ready for a new season of Sweet Magnolias. I know you are.
Yeah. I am. I did think it was coming in February. I was a little surprised when the list dropped and it wasn't on there, just because it feels like it fit perfectly last year in that slate. Like it's one of those ones leading up to like Valentine's Day. It just fits that kind of time of year.
It'll be a good spring show though. So fingers crossed April or May or March, if they're willing.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll split this one down the middle. Too.
I mean, that's when they could, because they do good cliffhangers on Sweet Mags that I feel like they could easily decide to do
weekly.
A split.
Do it weekly. More is more, Netflix.
And we know there's those rumors that like the Bridgertons might not return until later in the year, and that we might get Queen Charlotte first and that come in May. So I think they'll be looking to something like, you know, Sweet Magnolias to be that big romantic drama series that drops in the spring.
But until then, we do have Reese Witherspoon coming to save the rom-com day.
Yes, we do. So Your Place or Mine, it drops February 10th, which I think that's, let's see, is that a Friday?
I think it's a Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, because February 9th is a Thursday.
Yeah, that's right. Because, yeah, Valentine's Day, I think, is like a Tuesday this year. So, yeah, kind of getting in right before Valentine's weekend, which I think is a smart play for this one. I think it's going to be a big release for them. It stars Reese Witherspoon, Ashton Kutcher, Jesse Williams. And it's about two long-distance best friends who change each other's lives when she decides to pursue a lifelong dream and he volunteers to keep an eye on her teenage son. Seeing the trailer, I feel like I'm going to struggle with this one because I love Jesse Williams from Grey's Anatomy. And of course, he's kind of the character that seems to be introduced as Reese Witherspoon's love interest. And then there's the whole her and Ashton Kutcher. So it's like, that one's going to be a hard one for me. But I love Reese Witherspoon. She does, no one does rom-coms better than her. And I'm really, really excited that Netflix got this one.
Yeah, she's my favorite actress. She's right behind me for our viewers. I've been waiting for her to make her Netflix debut. And it feels so right that it's a rom-com. Ugh, back to her roots. But yeah, I'm so excited. The movie reminds me kind of like The Holiday, like the house swap. They're swapping coasts. They're swapping lives a little bit. Don't know how I feel about Reese and Ashton as a couple. I don't know why, but I'm gonna watch and love this movie. It's gonna be a favorite. I just know.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I feel like I love that Netflix has kind of helped bring back the rom-com genre a little bit, just in that it had kind of fallen off. Of course, you had like Hallmark and that were still doing these kind of movies, but we stopped seeing them like with the big stars on like the big screen and all that. And I feel like in recent years we've started to see like the resurgence of actors and actresses going back to this genre. I mean, we saw George Clooney and Julia Roberts return to it with the Tickets to Paradise.
Great movie, by the way. Great movie.
I love that movie. They were so good in it. And that's what's fun about these movies. It's like they're not meant to be like Oscar bait. They're just fun movies that will have that longevity. Like, look at how many times people still are talking about like Sweet Home Alabama and some of Reese's old rom-coms. Like, they're the ones that just become comfort food for people. Like, they're ones that you can go back to and put on and just enjoy watching them. Like, they're lighthearted and just what you want in movies.
I still watch How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days at least once a year. At least. And we need more movies like that. Not so much the, like, I mean, no hate, but, like, the TV movies are cute. But we need the little elevated ones, you know, with the bigger stars and like there's a little bit more to it and they're a little bit more expensive. So hopefully this is a return to that, even though we have seen, I'll give Netflix credit, there's like Set It Up and it's the only example I have off the top of my head right now. But hopefully this does really well. And I don't see how it's not going to with these two huge rom-com bets and stars.
Yeah, I agree. And the fact that it's coming out right before Valentine's Day weekend. And I don't think there's any like other big theatrical movie hitting theaters that like will hit that genre. So people who are looking for something new, they're going to be turning to Netflix. And I think that's going to be the movie they're going to be watching is Your Place or Mine.
True.
So fingers crossed it hits well. I mean, we've seen Knives Out 2, you know, was a huge, huge release in December. Of course, totally different genres than that. But I just think it goes to show, like with Netflix, they're picking good timing with some of their big releases. That one came out right before Christmas. This one's right before Valentine's Day. And I feel like Netflix is a good point of setting its movies up to succeed in that way of like finding times when people are going to be searching for that kind of movie. Which, speaking of movies, this one does seem a little out of place for me. And that's We Have a Ghost. Just like, I feel like, I don't know, this one feels like it would be perfect for like later in the year around like their Halloween lineup. But I don't really know too much about this one, but the cast is all I need to know. And that's, it's got David Harbour, Jennifer Coolidge. Those two alone are reason enough to, for me to give it a shot. It also has Anthony Mackie and a slew of other people connected to it. Those are the three that like are the top build. I just love that Netflix is working so much with Jennifer Coolidge lately. Like we had her in The Watcher. I love the Coolidge renaissance that's happening right now because we need her in more stuff.
Booked and busy. I didn't even know she was in this until right now. You broke news to me. Yeah, I don't know too much about this movie, like you said. I guess I'm watching it though.
Yeah, so I mean, for those who aren't familiar with it, the premise, according to Netflix, is finding a ghost named Ernest haunting their new home turns Kevin's family into an overnight social media sensation. But when Kevin and Ernest investigate the mystery of Ernest's past, they become a target of the CIA. So it seems like a wild ride.
It's a silly time, it seems like. It's comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which, I mean, with those names, I mean, let Netflix, like, give Jennifer Coolidge her dream of playing a dolphin somehow. I don't know how, but let's get her that dream on Netflix. Like
an animated show or animated movie, not even like a kid's one or maybe a kid's one. I don't know. That would be cute. Yeah. Like, what was that dolphin movie when we were kids? Flipper.
Yep.
Flipper reboot starring Jennifer Coolidge.
I know. There's been other dolphin movies too lately. So yeah, we need to find a way just to make that. I just love how random she can be. And that's just like her. Like she is a moment. Like you never know what to expect. And then she's just pure comedic genius when she like dedicates a bit. And the fun thing is like, it wasn't even a bit. Like it's just her being like true. She wants to play a dolphin. And I love that for her. trying to think what else we've got. Oh, so we've got, I feel like the one Netflix like rom-com kind of adjacent series we do have coming is Love is Blind After the Altar season 3, which that is coming. I personally haven't followed this show, but I know that's gonna probably be a big hit. Of course, we don't have a new season of Love is Blind, but I feel like the After the Altar is the perfect like alternative pick. And we do have a new Netflix show called Perfect Match debuting on Valentine's Day, which is like a mashup of, it's basically every single Netflix reality star. Like they've put in people from The Circle, Too Hot to Handle, Sexy Beast, some other like Selling Sunset, I think was one of them. And they just kind of basically pulled all these different stars from those franchises and put them in like this dating show concept thing. And I can't quite describe it because it's, I don't know, it's a weird, like I've seen the first episode and I'm still not quite sure what to make of it. It's all about like finding the perfect match and perfect pairing in that. But I think what fans are going to like most about it is just seeing these personalities that they liked from the other shows come together. I don't think there's like a grand prize on the line, like cash prize of some kind, like we've seen with like The Circle, Too Hot to Handle. But I feel like this one's going to be one that fans would just enjoy just because they're going to see a lot of personalities from all the different Netflix shows that they love on the reality slate. And I think they're going to be surprised by some of the omissions that come out of it about some of the connections that happened that we didn't maybe know about and that are going to come out on this show. So if someone's looking for a new reality like dating show, I think Perfect Match will definitely be one that they'll gravitate towards and enjoy. Oh, and it is coming in batches, I should mention. So I believe it's going to be 4-episode batches like we've seen with like The Circle.
So it's kind of like, what's that Bachelor show called? Bachelor Pad?
Bachelor in Paradise.
Paradise. Was Bachelor Pad a thing? Did I make that up?
It was. No, I can't remember. I think it was, they kind of tweaked Bachelor Pad, I think, into Bachelor in Paradise. But Bachelor Pad was more competitive. Like, there were competitions. Yeah. And yeah, there are competitions to this angle. I should mention, like, they compete for power, and then they get to bring in new singles to try to, like, shake up the couples.
All of the reality shows into one.
It really is. It feels like this is Netflix's Avengers Assemble moment for the reality slate.
Yeah, it's like Netflix reality show All Stars, The Challenge, Paradise.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how this one does. But yeah, if you love any of those Netflix shows and you're one who like ships people, definitely I think you enjoy Perfect Match. All right, so as we start to wind down, of course, we have to do our monthly must-see title of February, which my pick's probably no surprise at all, which is Outer Banks. That's the one that I'm, of course, most excited. I'll be binging that first week it drops, and just I'm excited to see what this new season holds. It felt weird not having a season of Outer Banks last year, and so just to finally have that show back, even though it's like not in the summer, I'm not going to complain because we're not having to wait until the summer. But I think that's going to be a big release. I'll be shocked if that one doesn't pull in really, really solid numbers for Netflix. And fingers crossed, we won't have to wait long for season four renewal news.
For my pick, I think I'm going to go, you know, surprise you a little bit and go somewhere a little different and pick You Season 4 Part 1. No, I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, I was shocked there for a minute. I'm like, wait, what did I sell that? Because, yeah, that one, I would have been shocked if you'd pick that one.
And no, I'm kidding. I feel like if I don't pick Outer Banks, I won't be invited back to the podcast. But it is my top pick show. And I guess just to mix it up a little bit, my other top pick would be Your Place or Mine for my girl, yeah. Reese.
I feel like that's a good balance. A show and
Outer Banks. Outer Banks.
Yeah. I probably would have disinvited you, not going to lie.
You would have kicked me out of the call.
Just end the podcast alone. Sorry, we can't come to the phone right now.
Something weird happened with this connection.
But before we wrap, I also want to give a shout out to some other notable additions too. If you're looking for non-Netflix originals that are coming or something, you know, perhaps on the unscripted front that we didn't mention, we've got Formula One, Drive to Survive Season 5, The Lord of the Rings, first three movies are coming across the month. Lyle Lyle Crocodile, which I believe is a new movie coming as part of the Sony partnership. We've got new seasons of New Amsterdam Season 3 and 4 both coming. I don't know when the final season might arrive on Netflix, but it's exciting that we're seeing two more seasons join. And then we've got a lot of new seasons of reality shows coming, which includes Survivor Season 32, Married at First Sight Season 12, and The Real World Season 12. So a lot of mix in there if you're looking for some different shows to enjoy and kind of dive into across. And then, like I said, there's so many other shows on the Netflix family front, documentary front, that are also coming, which I think it'll just create a good month for people looking for something new to enjoy.
Something for everyone.
Yep. And with that, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you, Reed, for jumping in. It's been a blast talking mostly about Outer Banks, but about everything else as well. And thank you all for listening. Have a good one.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.